radicals are probably the most satisfying thing I ever did, because I actually got it done. And it really had quite an impact.
Yeah, certainly.
I wrote it at the right time, really.
Mm-hmm.
Many years of consulting, I was once connected with one very successful product.
What was that, if you could?
That's Celanese, they make a polyformaldehyde, which is plastic, named Celcon.
Mm-hmm.
And my name was on their basic patent. What I'm particularly pleased about with that was, having had this discussion about how they should solve the problem, I went home and I said to myself, this is such a good idea that if it works, we better get it on the record. So I sat down and carefully wrote them a letter about it.
Mm-hmm.
Which gave them a nice early date of conception and also established who'd done it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as an old DuPont employee, the fact that DuPont then sued Celanese and finally had to drop the suit on
of your letter.
If I have my letter. Having students who have gone out and done things successfully have been a satisfaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the late 20s, the early 30s, there was a gap that Hammond pointed out. Around the turn of the century, Lapworth was already starting to do kinetics,
yeah.
And people like Stieglitz and Neff and even Arthur Michael were talking about mechanisms. And yet, there was it was sort of a gap period, at least in Hammond's eyes. There was a gap between the early 1900s to about 1925 or thereabouts before people started to get interested again in organic mechanisms. Can you think of anything that might have stimulated the interest of more people?
I'm not as conscious of there being a gap, but it's the thing slowly moving along little by little, and somehow or other one had to make enough useful things that finally developed something of a critical mass, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
And enough little pieces of this turned up that it looked as though you could put it together. The idea of a carbonium ion as an intermediate was suggested back in about 1920 in connection with the
Mirwan
terpene rearrangement.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while for it. And then there was this rather sharp dichotomy between physical chemists, who actually measure kinetics and do things like this, and organic chemists, who were sort of reared in the idea that this thing was an art.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Adams, rather late in his career, I know, was being quoted about no useful thing had ever come out of his career. No useful new reaction had ever been discovered this way.
I see.
Hmm.
Which I think is no longer true at all.
One can hardly put a date on things like this, but how would you characterize the change in emphasis from classical organic chemistry to more of an integrated approach that perhaps we have today, which is sort of a combination of physical organic plus classical organic, which is now what we call organic chemistry?
Well, it sort of moved down slowly from the graduate schools into the teaching. You mean, when did it occur, or why did it occur, or what?
All of those questions.
Well, it really occurred between the mostly during the 50s, I guess,
mm-hmm.
late 40s, early 50s. Because in the early 50s, when you taught a graduate course in physical organic chemistry, this is all new to the students. They learned a good deal of descriptive chemistry. And it made it a marvelous time to teach it.
Mm-hmm.
Much less satisfactory to teach now, because they've been getting watered down versions of it ever since they started.
That's right.
And they've sort of gotten bored with it.
Yes. Yes. You're just adding more detail in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. A few years ago, I talked to Phil Skell. I was starting this project, and he said he felt physical organic chemistry was dead, and that those who were practicing it were merely adding more digits after the decimal point to already well-known numbers. And do you have any thoughts on physical organic chemistry today? Whether
much of it is fairly dead, but the techniques are certainly absolutely the fundamentals of all the work on enzyme reactions and things of this sort. All that area of biological chemistry. The application of these principles and their use in organometallic chemistry is really just getting started and is quite active. And photochemistry is probably a little over a peak, but it's still learning interesting facts. Many of the classical problems are sort of exhausted, but they're...
Yeah, I just have the impression that they're beginning to expand the horizons
It's had this, like any field of chemistry, has this bad habit of running in fads, and the peak of publication in any area is sometime after the peak of interest.
Okay. Where do you think physical organic chemistry is headed, or organic chemistry in general is headed, at least now?
Well, the big area is certainly getting over into biological chemistry. Where else it's headed, I don't really know. I've been to various inspirational meetings about... I went to a workshop on physical organic chemistry that NSF ran a couple of years ago, but everybody sat around telling each other how great everything was, but I thought it was... But there's still quite a lot to do. There are a lot of things that aren't understood, and there are lots of interesting phenomena. Much less is known about oxidation reduction processes and known about volatilities and displacements, for instance. And I think this is beginning to, when you see how complicated the oxidation reduction processes are in photochemistry. I've been listening to this meeting. Mm-hmm. There's obviously a lot of very interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And as a basic approach to really technical problems, trying to improve processes, it's one of the most powerful tools to one has available. The whole area of how heterogeneous reactions operate is still quite mysterious. And that's what I would say are the major
problems.
Unsolved problems, yeah.
Okay, just a few other questions. I told you before I was going to ask about your children. You're listed in Recommend of Science as having five.
Five children, none of whom have gone into science or shown any particular interest in it. The nearest came to it was my second daughter, Mary, a chemistry major. Although he is now in the technical sales of IBM.
I see. So maybe you had a negative influence on them.
I didn't have a positive influence on them anyhow.
Mm-hmm. I'm considering doing a benchmark papers book, and perhaps there's no time to list it, but if you have any all-time favorites in physical organic chemistry, I appreciate your letting me.
Hammett's paper on both of Hammett's papers on the Hammett equations. I mean, both the acidity function and the other one.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know what other ones. Some one or two of the early Weinstein papers certainly are. Uh, George Hammond's paper on the first one on the...
There's the energy paper.
Yeah, the single triplet reactions of benzophenone, yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah. I was thinking of another one.
Yeah.
That,
yeah, I think that many people would consider his one on the anapostolate more fundamental than I do, because I sort of felt the idea was
it was sort of a statement of something seemed...
But it's certainly been quoted.
Yeah. I guess my final question is, you know most of the people I've talked to so far. Are there any others that you think it might be useful for me to talk to in terms of just the sheer development of physical organic the earlier years?
I don't know.
I think talking to Frank Mayo might be a very good idea. I had not thought of it before.
He could tell you something about the politics of Chicago. That you might have been likely to have missed now. Ernie Grunewald might be able to tell you something now. He was one of Weinstein's early students. Jack Roberts.
Yes, I've been in contact with Jack Roberts.
Yeah.
And, like you mentioned, Saul Cohn before as being a cohort of yours, and I hope to get to him to smile sometime.
There are really very few people who got into it before I did and who are still around.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I appreciate it.